Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, March the 10th. 2023, 11 days from spring. How about that? 16 and a half minutes past the hour here on this Getaway Friday. And boy, are we going to have a great two-hour period here on the program. Now, we are going to give away some of these Kiwanis pancake tickets, so stay tuned. And I'm on till 1 o'clock today. By the way, if she's listening in the car on her way to school, I thank Brinley for stopping by with her grandmother, Mary. They're both going to be at the pancake breakfast tomorrow, and we're going to get to see Brinley perform. So that is going to be a lot of fun. Now, our guest today, of course, is one of my favorite people. In recent times, I have been with her at the opening of Stewart's Root Beer for their 98th season. She visited the classroom over at Marion Harding High School, had a great time making waffles, and she will be at the Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast tomorrow morning, as will I, from 9:30 until noon, meeting and greeting everybody and having a great time. And it was just 10 days ago, we passed an anniversary, the 29th anniversary of Mary Ellen Withrow being sworn in as Treasurer of the United States. What a pleasure it always is to welcome to these microphones Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
Okay, we've been out and about lately with the school and the Stewart's Root Beer. It's
yes.
Fun to get out and do that stuff.
Oh, it is. I love being around people.
Yeah. Now, tomorrow, this pancake breakfast, it looks like a lot of fun.
Yes, it is. I've never floated through the audience like that, but I went when Primrose played their bells there. We've done that a couple of times.
Yeah. So, and the entertainment is great.
Yes.
The kids perform, the dance studios, the Marionaires perform. So while you're eating and having a good time, and you and I will be floating through the audience tomorrow, you're just entertained as well.
Yes, that's right.
So it's really a great morning. Now, big news here this morning. Larry Householder and Matt Borges were found guilty. I have to pick up a paper so I don't get this wrong. Were found guilty yesterday in the racketeering trial. Now, to simplify this for people who maybe don't know what happened, $61 million, it was called a pay-to-play scandal, against First Energy, or from First Energy, was doled out there. You know, we're going to come back to this momentarily. Let's go to the phones here. Go ahead, caller.
Yes. Not on air or anything, am I?
Yeah, you're on air right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I just had, my name is Jonathan Johnson, and I had a question about possibly an interview, with, to see if I could play my music.
Oh, getting on the air?
What's that?
I say getting on the air, you say?
Yes, like a radio play.
Well, I tell you, call back after 1 o'clock.
After 1?
Okay. After 1.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, but,
all right, well, there you go. People wanting to book an interview.
Oh.
Yeah, but the pay-to-play scandal, $61 million, First Energy, House Bill 6 is what it all came down to, a $1.3 billion bailout for First Energy, and Larry Householder, the former Speaker of the House here in Ohio, was found guilty. What'd you make of this, Mary Ellen?
Well, I'm glad it ended up the way it did. I was afraid he was going to get off, and he shouldn't. He should get everything they can give to him.
You know, how did something like this happen?
It's not hard.
Yeah, well, you know, you think about this. This was the Speaker of the Ohio House. Do you think it had to do with greed? Was it a greed issue?
Of course.
What happens to people when they... Yeah.
They see an opportunity, and it's against the law, but they go with it.
Yeah, they do, and in the end, I don't know what's going to happen. Well, what do you think will happen? I don't think they've been sentenced as of yet.
No, I don't think so, but it's not going to be pretty.
No, it's not going to be pretty in the end. And how do you think this impacts the Republican Party in Ohio?
Well, I hope they I hope it impacts them.
Well, the House Bill 6, what happens with it? Does it just, does First Energy get to keep that $1.3 billion bailout that they got?
I don't know. I'm anxious to see what happens next.
It's a very fascinating thing that happened because are we also going to find out where this money, the $61 million, went that First Energy donated in dark money to this campaign?
It went to all his Republican friends.
Now, but there has been a question, did any of it go to the governor?
Well, that's a good question because the governor had to know about this. There's no way that he could not know about this.
If he did know about this, which you say there's no way he couldn't, he might be in a pickle at this point.
Well, he should be in a pickle because I know that any time that amount of money is floating around, he would know about it.
So he'd be aware of it. And what does that say for our governor, Mike DeWine, who's been involved for so long?
Well, it says that he needs to be investigated. They need to talk to him.
Why do you think they haven't so far?
I don't know.
It's fascinating in that way because, as you said, you would think roads would travel back to him.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that's wrong. There's too many Republicans in office, and they're protecting one another. And that's not the way for good government. Good government has to have a balance between the two parties, and we don't have that today in Ohio.
How do we get it back?
Well, we have to fight like crazy.
What has happened? I know we've talked about it before, but when did you start to see a decline in the Democratic Party in Ohio to where we've gotten to where we are now?
Well, it's been probably in the last 20 years.
Is it hard to switch it back, to get it going back the other way?
Oh, it's not that hard if you get the right people. You have to have the right people working on it.
What do you think people in Ohio, and maybe other states as well, aren't doing now that needs to be done?
Well, I can't answer that. I don't know.
But it has seemed very tough here in Ohio.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I mean, Governor Strickland was on this program after the last election, and I don't want to screw up the quote, but he pretty well said that Jesus Christ could run as a Democrat in Ohio and not win at this point.
That's probably true, yeah.
How does it get to that point? That's rough.
Well, we don't have the right people in places of power.
Do you think it has anything to do with the way Ohio has been run the last 8 or 10 years? That people feel, hey, businesses are coming in, people are doing okay, the unemployment rate, I think, did go down prior to the pandemic. People can get jobs. People have maybe felt complacent.
Well, it isn't that. It's the people in the party, in the Democratic Party, that I'm saying are not doing doing what they should be doing, I don't think.
Well, it's interesting, not to get involved too much here on a local level, but everybody running for mayor this year, and we see who the three are, none of them have ever held position legislatively in city government. Now, that's the first time that has happened in Marion, as near as I can tell, maybe ever, but at least in the last 70 years. People don't seem to be running for office. No city council people are running. No former city council people are running. I don't know what has happened. That's always been the case.
Yes, well, I don't know about that, but really what I'm talking about is the state party. I'm not talking locally so much as the state party and the organization and the way they're running it. I don't like it.
What is the thing that bothers you the most about it?
Well, I find out how they're supporting the candidates running for state office, and I don't think they're being fair with them. I don't think the last election was fair with the candidates.
Fair in what way?
In forcing them to pay for their help from the Democratic Party, number one.
Is fundraising ultimately the issue here?
Yes, yes. That's always the issue.
When you were running for office, how was the structure of the Democratic Party in Ohio different?
Well, I had good people fighting for me, and that's what you have to have, yeah.
You have to have people involved who
yes.
know the issues.
Yes, and they really want you to win. They can't just stand there and say they hope you win and don't do anything.
Well, you know, that's the interesting thing is that in the beginning, everybody's out and everybody's excited. They announce their candidacy. And then for some reason, it just seems to go downhill.
Yes, yes. It dwindles away.
If you don't have a strong party in the state, how do you win an election?
Well, you have to get a strong party going. That's the basis of it. You start there. You try to get good people in positions of power, and I just don't think we have it.
Do you think there is something that could change it? You would think after the last election we had last November, where I don't think any Democrats won statewide,
no.
that maybe it'd be a time for a change.
Yes.
But
yeah.
not...
Well, Marcy Kaptur was the only one that won... It was a significant win, and she had been in office. She went into office same time I did.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
That this is the position that we're in right now, and what is the Republican Party doing right? Because clearly they're doing something right in the state.
I don't know what it is.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is people will look at this Householder and Borges case and they'll just say, well, that's them, and whatever will happen to them will happen, and things will pretty well go along as normal, I think. And I'm not sure, because this was pretty well known during the last election, but it didn't seem to impact the vote.
But think of all the money he gave to all the candidates that won. They were all his buddies. Yeah.
Well, and how do you unding that bell?
Yeah, how do you?
I don't think you can.
No, it's done.
You know, and we look at this, and I don't know. The whole Householder representing himself, what did you make of that?
Well, not too well.
No, it was definitely an interesting thing, to be sure. Now, we're getting a phone call here. Let's try this. If you want to put the headphones on there, Mary Ellen, we'll see.
Really,
maybe we'll get it right this time. All right. Turn this up a little bit. Okay, go ahead, caller.
It's better.
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad.
Hey, are you back listening?
No, I'm still in the nursing home.
Oh, you getting any better?
Oh, maybe some.
Oh, good. Do you know when you'll be home?
Not for sure. They say I have COVID now.
Oh, well, hopefully things clear up for you.
Well... If they don't release me here pretty soon, I'm just going to sign myself out.
Well, keep us updated. I'm glad you called.
Nobody wants to come into a nursing home, I tell you that.
No, I wouldn't think so. What?
You can turn on your light, and it can take them a half hour to respond to it.
Yeah, it can be a little rough. I would get... Well, I'm sorry you're going through all that, but let us know how things go.
What's the latest in the news?
Oh, did you see the Householder and Borges guilty?
Yep, that didn't surprise me.
No, what do you think's going to happen with all that?
I doubt he's going to get much time out of it.
You don't think he'll get much time? I don't know.
They don't tend to give white collar crime much time. Have you ever noticed that?
Well, in certain cases, but I think in some cases they go away for a while. Like Bernie Madoff, I think he went away for life.
Yeah,
he
got hit pretty hard.
He did. Well, hey, I thank you for calling, and we'll be on from 12:15 to 1 today if you want to call back. We got Mary Ellen with us here right now.
What are you talking to Mary Ellen about?
We're talking about the Householder verdict.
Oh, what does she think about it?
I think that he'll get some time in prison, I hope.
Well, I think he's going to get some time in prison, but they say he could get maximum of 20 years. I don't think they're going to give him 20 years.
No, he might get 15. That's a long time.
And with parole, he'll be out before that.
Yeah, that's the way it works sometimes. Well, hey, give me a call back after 12:15. We'd love to talk with you.
Okay.
Thanks.
See you, Mary Ellen.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, you know, some people have the rough time in the nursing homes. That
yeah,
can be...
Yeah,
you know, I think it depends on where you are and what's going on.
Well, people, and you came to see me when I was in the nursing home, and you really appreciate people coming to see you, I'll tell you.
Well, and I'll tell you, it's interesting because you're never sure if you should go and visit somebody in a nursing home because you don't want to bother them, you're not sure how they're feeling, but once you're there, it's okay.
Well, I was tickled to death to see anybody that wanted to come.
Well, it was, you know, we had some great conversations there because
yes,
nothing else is going on.
Right.
You're able to really sit there and have a good conversation.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, when you look back on that whole experience now, you healed very well and are back up and running. Did you learn anything from that experience?
Yes. I learned that my bones can heal. I'm surprised at how my bones heal. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. That's the biggest bone in my body went back together okay, and no pain.
Isn't that something?
Yes, it is something.
You have no residual pain from that at all?
No.
That's fascinating.
Yes, and I'm so grateful.
And tomorrow you'll be pouring coffee. Within 5 months of that, who would have known?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, one thing I want to talk about here is you visiting the schools, because we haven't had a chance to talk about that on the air since you came. I'll tell you, the kids really enjoyed that. We made the waffles. You got to speak with them, and they were really interested in what was going on. I was so happy to see that.
You know, I loved going to the schools. I think you know my story. When I was in office, I was supposed to talk about saving money, and that's the one thing that Treasury told me to do, talk to the public about saving money, because our saving rate was so low. And so I talked about saving money, but I didn't think I was getting anywhere with the adults. And so I decided to talk to school children and see if I could influence them. And so I would go to two or three schools every time I made a speech somewhere else. And it was terrific to talk to the children. They were so impressed with me because I had my name on the money. And that still impresses people. I mean, if you want to remember somebody for something, having their name on the money is a pretty big thing.
Now, at the time you were doing that, did you think about that? That the name on the money would be the thing that would resonate with people?
Yes, I did, because that's what impressed them. Yeah.
When we look back now, 29 years ago, 10 days ago, you were sworn in. What are your memories of that day?
Oh, it was a fantastic day. We had a tremendous crowd. They couldn't hardly get everybody in the cash room. There was so many people. All the state treasurers were there, and all the people from Marion came, and it was really a wonderful day. And I just remember it just being packed full, you know, everything.
You know, how did the idea, I don't think I've ever asked you this, to give Al Gore and Lloyd Benson sweatshirts come about?
Well, Ohio State, the people that worked there wanted me to give them the sweatshirts. I said, well, sure. And So that's how it happened. They wanted them given out, and I had Marshall Bennett, who was treasurer of Mississippi. He was president of the State Treasurers Association, and I had been president of it the year before, and then we had the one guy from Congress from Cleveland. I can't think of his name, but we had all of those people. Then John Glenn was in the audience, and several other Congress people were in the audience. And, it was a big day.
You know, watching the video, we showed the kids at school the swearing-in video. Mm-hmm. And when you look back on that, boy, the room was just packed.
It was.
Packed full.
Yeah, they were going to have chairs in there, and then they decided there wasn't room for chairs, so everybody was standing. And, it was, and it's a big room.
The speech you gave that day, what did you want to convey to the people who were there?
Well, I wanted to convey what I had done in Ohio, and that I was appreciative of this opportunity, and I wanted to do good things for the country, and I did, yeah.
Absolutely, and I think it comes to light maybe even more now, because we look 29 years later. We'll ask your opinion on this. How much headway has been made for women in the last 29 years?
Well, quite a bit, yes. I go back to the beginning of my career, which was running for the school board, and the newspaper wouldn't print my name, Mary Ellen Withrow. It had to be Mrs. Norman Withrow. And then when I'm county treasurer, I can't get a credit card in my name. And we've come a long way in those departments. There's still things to be done, but I listened to the First Lady of Ukraine this morning talking to Hillary Clinton and talking about what's happening to the women in that country, and it was a terrible story. Yeah.
Why do you think it's better than it was, but why is there a feeling that a woman possibly can't do a certain job?
Well, it's just there. I think until somebody proves that they can, they're still going to question.
What do you think it's going to take? How long is it going to take before we'll have a female president?
I don't know. It takes the right person to run, and who knows when that's going to be. But just like Margaret Thatcher had to prove herself, and the woman in India, what was her name?
Golda Meir?
Yes, yeah, she had to prove herself. And from there, then they realize that a woman can do the job, but it still hasn't happened here.
No, it hasn't. And when you think, in a lot of ways, the United States is progressive, but in this way, we haven't been.
Other states have elected women governors, but somehow here, we haven't been able to.
When you were thinking about running for governor back in the early 90s, did you ever think that might be a problem, just the fact that you were a woman and we had never had a woman governor?
Well, yes, I realized that was always an issue. I knew it was the biggest issue when I ran for state treasurer because my predecessor had a big embezzlement, and I had to overcome that. And that's always in your mind that, and I started out campaigning. I said, well, I know I've experienced it and I know what to look for. That was my whole campaign issue, that I knew what to look for. And the men running against me, particularly the one in Dayton who was a prosecutor, he really attacked me on it. And then I hear later from somebody that was in the meeting, they said, I doubt that anybody voted for him, you know.
Yeah.
It's interesting how things come across and what happens, because at the time, you know, I'm sitting there listening to this guy just rip me up, and I'm not realizing it isn't taking hold with anybody, but I'm thinking it is, you know.
Well, that can be absolutely. I think we have another phone call here, Mary Ellen, if you want to put the headset up to your ear there. As I've said, this is the 29th anniversary month of Mary Ellen being sworn in as Treasurer of the United States, and somebody who wanted to call in and say hello is the Chief Operating Officer of Federal Student Aid, former treasurer here in the state of Ohio, Rich Cordray.
Oh, my goodness. Hi.
How are you?
Hello, 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 Mary Ellen. How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great.
Great.
And, I got the word that I could call in to say hello to you and do it over the radio, Scott reached out to me. I was really pleased to try to figure out how to do that. So glad to speak with you.
And, oh, that's terrific.
Yep. 29 years.
Yes, yes.
U.S. Treasurer.
I keep thinking.
Your trifecta of treasurer, state treasurer, and U.S. treasurer. Which
yes.
I think you're the only person ever to do that.
Yes, yeah. Well, it's so terrific to hear you. I'm so glad you called.
Well, thank you. As Scott said, I'm now in charge of all federal student aid for higher education, which are numbers you would be familiar with. We have And we're in charge of $1.7 trillion in debt owed to the federal government and hundreds of billions of dollars each year that goes out to people to finance their higher education. And you know, you and I both know how important higher education is in this day and age to so many people. And it can be anything from a PhD program to trade schools and vocational education, anything that helps people advance in the workplace. That's what we do.
Yes, and it sounds like a terrific job.
It's a heavy job.
Yes.
I get a book every night with items in it for approval or for information for the next day, and it always takes me several hours to work through it. But I enjoy the work, and I know it matters a lot to a lot of people. You know, you and I both have that passion for public service, and one of the things I've always admired about you and tried to model myself after.
Oh, well, thank you. Do you live in Washington now?
No, I go back and forth.
Oh, do you?
As I did when I was heading the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, I go back and forth pretty much on a weekly basis because, you know, home in my heart is here.
Yes,
and,
yeah.
And my wife is here, teaches at Capital University Law School in Columbus, and so we make it work.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Mr. Cordray, I wanted to ask you a question. 29 years since Mary Ellen was sworn in as Treasurer of the United States, when we look at our beloved Ohio here in Central Ohio, what is Mary Ellen's place in the history of Ohio politics, women, men, the whole thing? Where does Mary Ellen Withrow go down?
Mary Ellen Withrow is in the upper echelons of the Hall of Fame in Ohio, both politics and government. I would say she was a trailblazer. You know, the things she achieved as a woman at a time when that was not necessarily natural or comfortable for certain people, I think are notable. But also her just what, Mary Ellen, what I took away from watching you and learning from you. And by the way, I remember, I can't remember if I mentioned this to you, that when I was first in the state legislature a number of years ago, you were the state treasurer at the time, and you made it a point to invite a number of us first-time legislators to come over and sit down and just talk to you and ask you questions and be able to get used to, you know, some of the intricacies of state government. Just time that you made. You didn't have to do that, but you made it a point to do that, and it was much appreciated by me and everybody in the room, I believe. You were always kind of consciously a mentor to people who were new and young in state government. But, you know, to me, Mary Ellen's legacy is epitomized, and I tried to adapt this style as well. She was unafraid to try new things and to experiment with things that might or might not work, but if they did work, we're going to benefit people. And I think about some of the innovative programs that she started as state treasurer, which we tried to carry on when I was there, such as loans in a limited fund that we had, loans to small businesses around Ohio, that made a big difference to small businesses getting underway and being able to expand and grow their workforce, helped create jobs for people. That was not any part of the natural Ohio State treasurer job, but Mary Ellen thought it up. She was willing to try it, and it worked. It actually had fallen into disuse under her successors, I guess because they saw it as her program, but it was really an Ohio program. And so we put it back into place, and it worked just as well for us as it had for her, and worked for lots and lots of businesses out there. That's just one example. There are many examples. She was, again, totally innovative and unafraid to experiment, which was a great quality that I tried to emulate myself.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's kind of exciting. And Star Ohio is still in existence, too.
Yep.
Yes, and the person running for state treasurer on the Republican ticket was advertising one of my linked deposit programs on his.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, you know what they say, Mary Ellen, in politics, you know, imitation is the best form of flattery. It is the best compliment. You know, when people see a great idea or a great program, they grab it and try to take credit for it themselves. And, you know, it doesn't really matter who gets the credit. The great idea is delivering value for people. And you had a number of those. As you say, both Star Ohio and the Link Deposit. You want to talk a little bit about Star Ohio? I was referring to the Link Deposit program, of course, but you want to tell viewers or listeners who may not know what Star Ohio was, how you came about it?
Well, Star Ohio was where we invested the money for government, and the Marion Library is still using Star Ohio because they mention it to me every once in a while. And it's amazing to me, you know, to have the ability to take the money from universities and schools and local government and do a good job with investment for them. And it was exciting to do that.
Absolutely. Hey, Mr. Cordray, I do have a question for you here before we let you go. I know you're very busy today, but it's kind of a big news day here in Ohio. Do you have any feeling on the householder Borges verdict yesterday?
Yeah, of course, we all have feelings. All of us who've served in state government or government at any level have feelings when we see somebody on trial for, you know, public corruption and for subverting what's supposed to be the course of public service on behalf of the people, where it becomes about helping themselves rather than helping the people they're serving. And, you know, when you bring charges against someone, those are just allegations, and eventually, if it proceeds, they go on trial. And here I want to compliment the jury because it was a long trial. They had to sift through a lot of evidence, listen to a lot of testimony, and come to their verdict. They did it relatively quickly, which is not always the case in these complicated follow-the-money types of cases, and, of course, resulted in the convictions, which I'm sure will be appealed. There will be more legal process to unfold here, but to me, it's a day for justice in Ohio that people who were, I think, the video, the tapes, the audio tapes of conversations demonstrate that there was an effort to sort of sell off pieces of Ohio to advance personal goals. And, you know, some of that people could say is hardball politics, but some of it crosses the line. And the jury is the system we have for determining whether that line was crossed. And you know, ordinary Ohioans sat on that jury and made their judgment, and I don't have any reason to question it, and I think that it's a good day for accountability, and we'll see what happens from here.
Absolutely. Richard Cordray, the Chief Operating Officer for Federal Student Aid. Boy, that is a big job right now, and we can't thank him enough for stopping by here this morning to pay tribute.
Well, you bring on a special friend, and I will try to be there. So, Mary Ellen, my best wishes to you. Congratulations again on all of your accomplishments, and really appreciate the chance to share a few moments with you. I always do. It's always special.
Well, thank you, Rich, and I'm so glad you called in. I'm so glad to talk to you.
And by the way, I do remember, and I chuckle about it from time to time, and when I think about it and I'm in a group, I will tell them the story about how when I was sworn in as state treasurer, you were gracious enough to come and be willing to swear me in, and you told the crowd that it's great to have a treasurer named Rich.
Yes, yes. I thought that was terrific. Yeah.
It was terrific. Yeah. I'm still telling that story a few years later.
Yes, I remember that day so well, and talking to the crowd, and I said, you know, I'm the only person here that knows what it's like to be state treasurer. I remember saying that.
Well, now there's two of us. All right.
Yes.
Very good.
Thank you.
Good to hear your voice. Thank you.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
Scott. Hey, Rich Gordray, hey, now there is a busy job right now. Chief Operating Officer for Federal Student Aid. By the way, for the Biden administration,
yes.
He got a good position.
Yes, and I bet that's a busy, busy one.
You know, that whole thing with student aid going before the Supreme Court, student loan forgiveness, I bet he's got a lot on his plate right now.
Yeah, I was kind of afraid to ask him how he felt about it.
You know, it was interesting, though, to hear his thoughts on the householder scandal.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he is just a nice man. You know, no matter how you feel politically, if you met Rich Gordray when he was running for governor or when he was treasurer, he's just a nice man
he
to
is.
Meet.
He is, yes.
And you were the treasurer honorary of his last campaign when he ran for governor.
Yes, and you know, when I was talking about running for governor, he wanted to be my running mate.
Really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Would he have been most likely the person you would have chosen?
Very likely.
Yeah.
I hadn't made a decision because I hadn't got that far.
Well, what do you... makes him so good at his jobs?
His kindness. He is so kind and so honorable. You know, he's just an honorable person. Yeah.
He really is, and that he's kept his home here in Ohio that he mm-hmm. commutes.
Yeah.
That must be tough.
I think it would be.
You know, when we look at the whole sphere of politicians here in Ohio, where do you think Rich Gordray falls?
Oh, I think he's way up there. I've always thought that.
He's one of the people that was able to go beyond Ohio into a job with two administrations that mm-hmm. I'm aware of.
Yes. Yeah, he was there with Clinton when I was there. And of course, yes, it's good that he's there.
You know, and always dealing with things that have to do with finances, which is not an easy job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, being treasurer of the state of Ohio, what was the main thing that you had to worry about when you were treasurer of the state?
Well, you didn't want to lose any money.
Yeah.
People do not take that lightly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was responsible for $87 billion, and that's a huge load on your shoulders every day.
Well, you spoke about the person who had held that position before you had gotten into some trouble, and mm-hmm. certainly we're talking today about people who have gotten into trouble here in the state of Ohio. Why is it so easy to fall in to that problem when you're in elected office?
Well, you have to have the right people working for you.
What was important when you were hiring staff?
First of all, loyalty. That was number one. Yeah.
How do you know if somebody's loyal?
Well, you have to you have to try to interview them and see what they say to different questions.
How do you feel about your staffs when you look back at them?
Oh, I think I had a wonderful staff. I did. They were just terrific. And some were better than others. I thought if I could have got the best people all together at the same time, yeah, I'd have been way up, and I was way up there. We had the best investment record in the country. Mm. We had the best investment record in the country. Yeah.
When you were working as Treasurer of the United States, how big a staff did you have?
I had 182 people.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not that big now because certain departments have been taken away.
How do you feel about... Was there a role model for you in politics?
Yeah, Eleanor Roosevelt, but she really wasn't, you know, in elective office, but she was certainly in politics.
Certainly was.
Yeah.
What about Eleanor Roosevelt resonated with you?
Well, the fact that she was willing to go out and try to do whatever she thought needed to be done.
Why do you think in her time she got such a bad rap from certain groups?
Well, they resented the fact that she was a woman doing this. It was back to the woman issue again.
How big a part of FDR's presidency do you think she was?
Oh, she was a big part. Mm. Yes. I grew up in his administration. Yeah.
What was it like when FDR was president?
It was like you had a lot of trust in him. I just trusted him to really take care of us. Yeah, that's the way I felt.
When he died, people felt it was like their father died.
Yeah, right, yeah. My dad went to the Democratic Convention when it was in Chicago, and my grandfather, and they were so excited. And of course, then I went to, I don't know, at least 10 Democratic conventions. No, it was more like 20. Yeah, I went. I was on the executive committee from 1968 probably until 2002. I was still on after I went out of office. Yeah.
What are those conventions like? For people who've never been to a convention.
Well, I didn't want to miss one speech. I would sit there through all of it, and I would just eat it up, really.
Do you have a favorite convention?
Well, probably Clinton's would be, both of his were probably my favorite.
What was it, Pastor Whitaker was talking about it earlier, what is it about Bill Clinton that you can't, you might disagree with his policies, you might walk into the room not liking him, but you can't meet him and not like him?
That's right, his personality, he had that type of a personality.
He really did, and do you think any other president in modern times has had that?
You know, I think Joe Biden's got a wonderful personality, too. And I've known him for many years, and I've felt that, you know, he knows so much about government. And now to be president, it's such an advantage to be able to be president and have that knowledge of all those years that he put in. It's just so valuable.
Mm. Absolutely. Mary Ellen Withrow is the guest here. We're approaching the end of the hour, but she's going to be with us for another hour here this morning. And boy, we've got a whole lot more to talk about, a whole lot more to reminisce about, and you are not going to want to miss that. And we are going to give away some more tickets to the Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast. So stay with us here on WGH Talk, back with Mary Ellen Withrow in about 15 minutes. Don't you dare flip that dial.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary comedian Pat Cooper.
Listen to me. But if your friends want to buy that book, and I ain't making a dime on it, I tell you that. I don't give a damn about the money. Let them go to Amazon. It's a cheaper, and it's a great book because it's honest, and you're going to do a lot of laughing. And the only reason I wrote the book, because people who have no life are writing books, and they're boring. If you don't like my book, you'll say one thing.